air for, I suppose, about 10 years now. Coins Plus has been in business for about 20. Coins Plus has grown in a lot of ways. We operate from one of the nicest facilities in the United States. We are a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We buy and sell all forms of rare coins, precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We've really become, I'd say, specialists on wealth and capital preservation, precious metals portfolio experts. We offer the highest-rated depository service in the United States, in the western United States, northwestern. How about that? It keeps getting smaller and smaller. How about in the northwestern United States? I should figure that out. There's a few out there, but not a lot. It's a very high-quality depository service. The building was built from the ground up with extreme security in mind. We used a lot of massively secure products, bullet and bomb-resistant polycarbonates for the windows. We have corridors within the buildings built out of concrete, steel, and Kevlar. We have the buildings built with a lot of, theft-proof, in mind. There's just a lot of security stuff we've built so that if something ever does go down in one area, we can cordon it off and control it from other areas. We've got 24/7 motion surveillance on all the safe deposit boxes. We've got dozens and dozens of cameras, multiple dozens, and those are recorded at three separate locations. And the building is just, it's designed for confidentiality, privacy. It's very nice for those of you who've been in, understand. So maybe it's a little braggadocious, but it is our building, and we've done everything we can to bring a whole breath of fresh air to the business. I can tell you, people who've been to other quote-unquote coin shops will understand there's absolutely no comparative in service, quality, price, anything, and inventory. In addition to that, even if you're dealing with national companies, where national companies have kind of a psychological advantage, people tend to make businesses bigger, better, and classier than they are. If you've been into Coins Plus and you've seen it and you understand it, you may think that when you see an ad on TV to buy gold that they're operating from places like this. They're not. They're boiler room operators. They have commissioned salespeople. It's important that you understand this. They have people whose primary goal is to maximize profit because they are getting a percentage of that profit as their income. Coins Plus never has and never will pay their employees that way. We do not want our employees to have any conflict of interest with the client. Our employees are paid based on personal performance, work ethic, customer service, and a number of other things, work productivity, and overall store volume. But there's no tie. We don't want them to have any incentive to try to maximize profit. We want to give the customer the best deal we can. It's super important to us. In all honesty, when we do investment portfolios, I was just building one before I started the show, and I mean, what goes through my mind is I'm just like looking and digging, and we've got a massive inventory here. It's sizable. I've been in business a long time. Coins Plus is very well capitalized. And it's our desire to really, we want your money to grow. We want it to be solid. We want it to be secure. And we build balance. We really do. We put in numismatic, semi-numismatic, and intrinsic-based bullion stuff as well. A lot of people want to keep it simple, and I understand that. And I understand, as kind of a disclaimer, when you're getting into some of the numismatic stuff, you may not know or understand it. We, bought a collection yesterday from a gentleman who had put together, a lot of very nice stuff back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. And we were just talking downstairs. I mean, he had an uncirculated set of peace dollars from 1921 to 1935. And what he paid for that set in the 80s, now one coin, is worth more than the entire set. The entire set has about 30 coins or so in it. And there's one coin that dwarfs the value of what he paid for the whole set. And then there's all the other coins, of course, are worth a lot. And his return on that was probably, I'd say, 11-fold. That's a pretty good return. You know, plus he enjoyed it. He loved it. He's, you know, he's been parting with stuff over time because he's become so attached to these collections. He's got beautiful, you know, uncirculated Walking Liberty halves and just beautiful Morgan Dollar sets. And I mean, he's really grown attached, you know, uncirculated rolls of Franklin half dollars. We just bought a group of that from him, and very nice coins, you know, bright, brand new. I guess if you're not into coins, it's not as intriguing. But to me, I love things. You know, when you see original uncirculated rolls of half dollars from the 1930s or 40s, I just find that intriguing. I just always think, you know, those coins are worth so much now, and they're so beautiful, and they're so of such incredible quality. We make tin junk now. The old coins are just the most gorgeous things you've ever seen. They are individual pieces of art, and silver, when it's struck, is so beautiful. And to just think that there was a time you could go to the bank and get all you want. Of course, it cost a lot of money back then, but it, you know, now I just think back to what it would be like to go back 100 years and just walk into a bank and get uncirculated rolls of barber halves and quarters and things like that. Can't even fathom it, to be honest with you, but it's just such a nice piece of history. It's such a good way to invest your money. It's such a solid way to keep your money. Even rolls of crazy things like Lincoln pennies. I mean, we build sets of or rolls of, I sold years back a roll of 1931S Lincoln pennies. That's 50 coins. When I sold them, they were probably 20-some bucks a piece. So that made the roll at the time they bought it maybe $1,200. We bought that here back recently for $5,000. You know, and that's pennies. I mean, people are like, pennies? Why would you invest in pennies? Well, there's a lot of key date pennies. They're rare. They're super scarce. The mintages were incredibly low, especially pre-Depression. You know, money was something. I mean, we get the one thing that kind of blows my mind a lot is when you get like the old $5 gold pieces or $10 gold pieces and they're heavily circulated. That was a ton of money back then. I mean, a $20 gold piece would buy 1 to 2 acres of land. So the cost of a good acre of land now, you know, whatever that figures out to be, is what a $10 gold piece would be. And for them to get so circulated is just baffling to me. But you have to remember, that was the money. Checks were a joke. I mean, people really didn't write checks. If they did, it was for a significant transaction, and you know, there was absolute verification of funds, and people didn't, you know, just take a check and walk away. Paper money was supposed to be backed strictly by coin of gold or silver, and it really was. It was an absolute one for one ratio. If a bank issued a $20 gold note, they had a $20 gold piece sitting in the vault to back it up. That, of course, all changed under FDR, who began to take – well, that's not true. It changed with the Federal Reserve Act. The big magic act took place under FDR, where he began the gold call-in. He began calling in all the gold because they had come to him and said, look, sir, we have issued multiples, dozens and dozens of times more paper money than there is gold and silver in reserves. And so he told everybody, hey, if you're patriotic, you'll bring your gold back in. If you think about it, if people would have thought about it, that wouldn't have made much sense, would it? If the government says, here's how you can help us out, turn in all your gold, you know, we'll pay you for it. It doesn't make any sense. People would be like, now how does it help the government for me to give them my gold in exchange for a worthless piece of paper money? And you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, and in the 90s, I was still dealing with Depression-era people that were still alive. And, you know, one thing I heard a lot was people would say, you know, I thought when I turned in my gold or my silver dollars, I literally thought I could go back and get them back out. Well, they couldn't. The banks were deceiving people. There's been a lot of financial fleecing in this country and the world. Once this global centralized banking system began, And this whole push for a new world order, by the way, I'll give you the phone number and everything. You're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin, the host. True Wealth, of course, is sponsored by Coins Plus, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And all of our previously recorded radio shows are available on our website through coinsplus.com. So anyway, the central banks have impacted this new world order in a way you don't know, or maybe you don't completely understand. The new world order is driven by the world central banks. People do not get that. They don't realize that money is at the root of everything. You know, Solomon said money is the answer to everything. And that is something that you kind of have to think about what he really meant. It can be a little bit deceptive to think it really isn't the answer to everything, but it's the answer to why big companies, why things happen on a grand scale. There's always money involved. And when we have things going on right now, like this election with Hillary Clinton, we're finding out about all these, you know, I mean, it's so crazy. Money and power. Power gets money. Money gets power and power gets money. So all these people, you know, they're coming out today. All these people are getting immunity in this so-called investigation of Hillary. And they're allowing, you know, her assistants to sit in on her interviews and, you know, so that they can't get any accurate information. Folks, this stuff is corrupt to a core. America is so used to this level of corruption, they are not even shocked. And even the left is like starting to turn on Hillary. But between Donald Trump's own tongue and the media, they're skittish or hesitant about voting for him. I'm hoping that as the election comes closer, people are going to say, what do I got to lose? What the heck? And just throw a vote Donald Trump's way. Trust me, we cannot vote ourselves out of the mess. The financial mess that we're in, no. Especially when you really get to understand Donald Trump, he may not have full comprehension of some things. However, he came out recently, you know, they kept giving him a hard time about giving Obama trouble about not being born in the U.S. And then they tried to say it's because he's a racist. I love these terms. But the thing about it is he finally came out and said, okay, fine, he's born here. And then they asked him the other day, why did you, if you knew it was true, why'd you say it wasn't? And he said, look, I just wanted to get on with my campaign. I think the moral of the story there is he just said it to be for political expediency, just to get beyond the issue. Brilliant, because I don't think he really believes it. In fact, Obama's Muslim roots are, you know, he's definitely from Kenya. His own family said it. He was raised in Indonesia, went to Muslim schools, was, you know, basically baptized in the Muslim church. He's made all the Muslim vows. He carries a Muslim name, all this stuff. So there's a possibility. Long ago, you know, maybe 09 or so or 10, I saw Trump on an interview with Greta Van Susteren where he was mocking Obama's campaign style and saying, he said, all these grandiose statements, but really promised nothing. And Trump kind of jokingly said, or actually Trump doesn't joke a lot. He was fairly serious. He said, Greta, if I ever wanted to run for president, all I'd have to do is just tell people, you know, all these, you know, these really nice things. And once I got there, I could get to work and do what I wanted to do. I actually have a feeling that's the Trump we may see. When you get Donald Trump in the driver's seat, he may be wise, he may seek wise counsel, but I personally think he's probably a pretty brilliant man. He's very hardline. he sees things the way he sees them. And I have a very strong feeling that he might get into office and just begin to conduct business the way he sees it needs to be conducted, which is exactly what this country needs. However, like I said, he's probably, you know, we probably aren't going to be able to vote ourselves out of this. Although he may have a deeper understanding of the Fed and things like that, that he just doesn't want to get into because he's a smart man. He knows how things work. If anyone knows money makes the world go round, he does. And he may be able to get in there and suddenly, you know, we'll see a different Trump that says, look, this is corrupt. This is bad. We're not going to participate in this. He may lead movements to get out of this stuff. The younger generation is a lot better educated in what the truth is, in a way. I mean, they understand how corrupt the system is. They have at their fingertips access to all kinds of alternative information, and information can travel fastly. False information can also travel quickly as well, but there's always a good chance that just maybe you get someone like that in there and all of a sudden they start to surprise us all. He also was one who said the 9/11 event was fishy at best. So, you know, who knows? I mean, it might be, I'd be excited to see just what we get, because we know with Hillary what we're going to get. We're going to get a continuation of the Obama program, you know, on steroids. And we definitely don't want that. So I think we, you know, I've talked about the election a lot. It's out there. And I think that it's worth a shot. So today's Friday, Friday in the fall. And I'm not, I guess basically today, I think I'll just try to do a quick overview show on metals, investing, and we'll just touch on some of that. So let's just start with the fact that precious metals have been considered wealth and monetary assets since the beginning of written human history. Every civilization that is engaged in commerce has used metals as their primary pinnacle forms of wealth and trade, monetary trade. This pattern has continued without exception for over 4,000 years. And if you think about it, every nation that's chosen to debase the precious metals as their currency has ended up in complete financial collapse. The Roman Empire, the Weimar Republic, France, Argentina, Mexico, and numerous other nations are just a few examples of successful world powers experiencing complete and total collapse after a policy of currency debasement that lasted for decades or more. The economic collapse of Germany, which, you know, most people understand the history of that, the Weimar Republic, was followed by a very desperate population embracing Adolf Hitler as their savior who would rectify their woes. This is something we see in history a lot, where once when a country becomes destitute, they become desperate, they latch on to despots or radical, you know, tyrannical leadership, and they literally hand themselves over. And we have seen this in this country. Take away my civil rights. Protect me. Save me. Don't let me get hurt. Terrorism. Oh, no. And, you know, we are starting to see an upsurge in this stuff. Folks, Obama came in and he said he was going to fundamentally transform America. You look at us 8 years ago and you look at us now. There is absolutely no doubt he's fundamentally transformed it. He has created racial division at a lot. And the reason he doesn't see that he's done that is because it what he's seeing going on now is just confirming his worldview. He sees America as this evil perpetrator of colonialism. He sees the minorities as oppressed by the great white, you know, colonists, I guess he calls them. You know, everything that's taking place is what he's done on a smaller scale. So when he sees all this racial tension and racial divide and influx of Islam, this is what he's wanted. So it's not to him. He looks at it and he thinks America's great. He thinks we're heading the right direction. How somebody could not see the threat of Islam is crazy. Thomas Jefferson, I've discussed this. You know, people don't realize it, but our country was founded. Our entire military was founded based on Islam. The Barbary pirates were capturing, killing, and enslaving our people off of ships. They had just captured 750 people traveling to and from the United States. Jefferson and Adams. Jefferson was the ambassador to France. I can't remember what Adams' position was. They went to Tripoli, which is clear at the eastern end of the Mediterranean, met with the Pasha of Tripoli to try to have a man-to-man talk and say, look, we're a new country. Why are you doing this to us? We've done nothing to you. And the Pasha said, look, you know, he gave him a Quran and said, you're infidels. If you don't convert, we have the rights of Allah to do enslave you, to beat, torture, steal, rob, rape, whatever. It's the sickest satanic, demonic religion on earth. And it is. You know, if you think about it, folks, Islam, you know, the devil is the accuser. Islam is the religion of accusation. If you think about it, Islam is attacking America based on our, quote, sin through their eyes. So what you have is they're looking at us and they're saying, you know, they're listing off our sins of sexual immorality, homosexuality, and then other stuff, you know. And in a way, they're right, okay? But basically, it's the devil is the accuser. They're not in the business of edifying, building up, improving. They're in the business of tearing down. The devil comes only to steal, kill, destroy. This is how you can tell. It's you'll know my people by their fruits. You can judge a man by his fruits. You can judge a religion by its fruits. Islam is built to steal, kill, and destroy. So even though they have a sense of, you know, of moral righteousness or legal, extreme legalism. This is the other thing with the devil. He creates extreme legalism. Why? Because legalism causes division. Legalism compares me to you instead of me to God. As long as I look better than you, I'm more righteous and more holy. Legalism leads to judgmentalism. Judgmentalism is just another word for, you know, what the devil does, the accuser. So if you watch for the, you know, that whole look, the devil, he's the accuser and he steals, kills, and destroys. When you see somebody who claims to be a Christian running around pointing their finger at people, pointing judgment, you have to watch. Are they accusing? Do they have a spirit of accusation? Are they building up and edifying, or are they tearing down? If they're destroying and they're accusing, that is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is to restore your brethren. It's a spirit of revival. It's a spirit of renewal. It's a spirit of camaraderie and fellowship. That's the difference. And Islam is the spirit of destruction at its deepest core. You know, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof is what the scripture says. And really, that's what it is. They have this artificial godliness. They bow to Mecca five times a day. But when you get right down to it and you talk to Muslims, they don't have power. They are serving Allah. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to raise us up, to edify us, to build us up. Allah is a puppet master. You do what the Quran says out of strictly fear. Again, the devil, he wants to destroy. So he takes what God made. God made man to have joy. You know, what are the fruits of the Spirit? You can tell by looking at the fruits of the Spirit. What is God's ultimate goal, ultimate desire for us, right? I mean, Christ said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly in John 10:10. And, you know, that's where he also talks about the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to be happy. So what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is what he wants us to have. This is what our nation is founded upon. Now, of course, they're tearing it apart and trying to take it away. And yes, people point back in history to people, and you know, you get books that say Jefferson was a Mason and all this. Great. You can be confused and involved whether it's true or not. How involved he was, I don't know, don't care. But the point is, this country was built on Judeo-Christian roots, and it's been blessed ever since because of it. There's been no country this great in the history of the world. We've had the greatest positive impact on the globe of any nation in the entire history of mankind. And the fruits of the Spirit are what we're all about. So when we're going to, you know, approach a brother or confront, I have a friend who's kind of a traveling minister, and he gets involved in, you know, confronting churches with different issues. And sometimes, in my opinion, he loses sight of the fact that he needs, that there is a loving edification that comes with the Spirit of God. It is not the spirit of destruction and permanent condemnation. And, you know, it's just, I guess, to contrast the two. So Adams and Jefferson came back to the United States and said, look, this is it. Jefferson had been begging America, the Congress, to stop bribing the Barbary pirates. By 1800, we were spending 20% of our budget on paying them off to stop harming our people, which obviously wasn't working. So he ran for president, became president, created the first U.S. Army, Marines, he called them, in the which is now our Navy. And, you know, this is why they're called leathernecks. Marines are called leathernecks because they would wear these huge leather collars, because the Muslims would try to chop off their heads. And that's why the song says to the shores of Tripoli, and because they basically went out, got a hold of some Barbary pirates, did some very heinous things to them, slaughtered them, butchered them, covered them in pig's blood, and then sent back. By the way, people hear that General MacArthur, you know, did a similar thing where he killed a bunch of them, poured pig's blood on them, and then sent some witnesses to tell. MacArthur got that idea from Jefferson. He knew his history. Most of our politicians do not. So Jefferson did this, sent some witnesses alive back to Tripoli to tell them, if you touch our people again, we are coming to your land and we're going to do this to you on your land. So guess what? They understood that language. They stopped. Jefferson wrote in his journals, he warned future presidents. He said, it's settled for now, but his greatest fear was that down the road there'd be a president that, or the nation of the people, would forget what Muslim was all about, and that they would open the doors and welcome in a new Muslim, or allow the Muslim religion back into America to destroy it. Well, ironically, when we are attacked on 9/11, we become more tolerant of Islam. We play this no profiling stuff. Folks, profiling is just the way it's got to be. If you happen to have been born overseas as an Arab Muslim, I'm sorry if you're going to be inconvenienced a little bit more. But, you know, that's what we need to do. Israel has a lot lower penetration rate than we do. They have a lot better intel, and yet they have all the same freedoms that we experience. They just know when and where to draw the lines, and we need to be able to do that. So anyway, back to the metals thing. The intrinsic value of precious metals goes all the way back to the writings and teachings of the Bible. I've discussed in the past the Hebrew language describes gold as good. In Genesis chapter 2, they use the word tov, T-O-V-B, and it's, you know, the definition of tov is money, value, asset, investment, permanency, growth, health, safety, wealth, beneficial. You get the picture. So gold and silver are essentially untitled, anonymous, transportable, and immediately liquid compact forms of real property. That's the important thing. The value is in the item, okay? And that applies to collectibles, some. Not Pokemon cards, not Beanie Babies, okay? I'm talking collectibles that are built by man or come out of the earth. The reason some items are so collectible is not because they're rare, okay? It's because they're a work of, well, because they're rare and a work of craftsmanship that has a common understanding or common knowledge, like collector cars. I use as an example. Collector cars have done very well over time. Collector watches, you know, to build a quality watch is a major feat. Things like that. But when you get into precious stones, you know, the Bible, the things that are biblically attributed as true wealth are the precious metals, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. I've discussed this. These are sectors, okay? The precious metals industry is surrounded by coins, semi-numismatic, numismatic. All that stuff has incredible intrinsic value. I've been doing this a long time. My family has a history in it, and these have always performed throughout history. You can go back. Obviously, I read auction records and information going back hundreds and hundreds, all the way to the beginning of this country. Coins have had incredible value all along. They've been terrific investments. And you go before that, England, yes. Before that, Spain, Italy, yes. You go all the way back, you know, into the Crusade times. Coins were collected back then, yes. All the way back to Roman times, Greek times. They've always been collectible. They've always had value. There's something about them. They're made in limited edition by a respected government at some point in time. They just maintain their value. And I've told stories of buying collections that are 3,000 years old out of dowries from northern Africa. And the value increase is immeasurable. I mean, literally, you know, things that go from the equivalence of 0.27 cents to $27,000 in value over 1,000 years. I mean, it's unheard of. So it's a good way to balance out. If you want to put stuff away, lock it up, and have something special, that's what we help you do. If you have other goals in mind, we help you do that too. 401ks and IRAs, we do them all the time. We roll people over, and you maintain all the tax shelter umbrella. You get into the metals, you get some nice growth out of them. You're secure. The disadvantage is that when you do a 401k or IRA, the metals have to be held by a trust. They have to be held outside of your hands. There's some deceptive ads that are coming out, this like Atlantic Gold or something like that, that'll say you can hold your 401k in your hand and all this. They have you sign papers. It's a scam. They roll you out of your 401k, which is fine. You can do that. But they don't let you know what you're doing. They don't let you know you rolled it out and you're going to have a tax liability coming up. If you choose to roll out your 401k and put it into metals that you want to hold and secure because perhaps you think tough times are coming and you want to be able to have immediate access for the liquidity, the portability, transportability, anonymity of it, you will have to pay a tax. You'll have a tax burden on the withdrawal. It's just the way it is. The reason it's like that is because you did not pay the taxes on it when you put it in. They're pre-tax contributions. If you look at the overall concept of 401ks and IRAs, there is no benefit, in my opinion. If you take a pre-tax dollar, okay, $1,000, and you put it into something and it grows to $10,000, when you pull it out, taxes are forever increasing. I mean, Hillary Clinton said, if she becomes president, she wants a 65% estate tax. I mean, think about that. Well, she wants to attack these evil billionaires and multimillionaires, really. They're so evil. I mean, if you have a family business, a farm, a ranch, anything, if the family has a nice lake home and a nice family business and a farm, they are forced, if she gets her way, to liquidate everything and give 2/3 of that money to the government. I mean, how is that right? That is the extreme measure of socialism. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. I cannot say it any other way. We have lost our minds. The infiltration of the socialistic mindset into this nation is wrong. It's so unpatriotic and wrong, I can't even describe it. We have been brainwashed that if you are a patriot, you love taxes. You know, I can't believe the number of naive people out there that don't know any better. And someone tells them one time, no, I pay my taxes. I'm a good American citizen. I pay my taxes. That's not what makes you a good American citizen. What makes you a good American citizen is knowing the Constitution and being willing to fight and stand up for the truth of this nation, and being able to, you know, take pride in it. Allowing people on our soil that badmouth this nation and want to see it destroyed is wrong. That's treason. And we should not allow that. It's sick and it's sad. And taking away, you know, the problem with this thinking, with socialism, there's one great deception. And what happens a lot when you get deceived by a con man is they will talk to you with a great amount of truth. But there's just one little seed of a lie in it oftentimes, which you don't catch. And the whole premise of the rest of the argument is based on that. The false truth that is at the core of socialism is what we call zero-sum thinking. And that is the concept that if there is a fixed amount of wealth in the world, never changing. Of course, the government says they create wealth and they create jobs. So according to the government, as they pump currency out, they're creating wealth. No, what they're doing is there's a fixed amount of wealth in this nation. That wealth is based on, you know, real estate, hard assets, savings accounts, and the work value of the American of the working American population. In other words, as you work, you produce wealth, you create wealth. You put all the people in America together in their work energy, and there is a value to that. What is America worth as the working population? That gives us a fixed value. So when you add all those up and then you continue to pump out fiat currency, what happens is the value of the whole of that currency can never exceed the actual worth of the nation. So as more and more currency goes out, it's losing its value, because if you have a certain amount of assets and you back that by X amount of currency, if that currency, if you double it, triple it, quadruple it, the whole bunch of currency still has to have the same fixed value. And so you're dividing it down into smaller pieces. The way we get around that temporarily is by spreading our money around the globe, which is what we're doing now. We're hardcore globalists. It is just a matter of time. When Donald Trump talks about our trade deficit, he says $850 billion a year. That's tremendous. The problem with that is our money is being sucked out of this country. Other countries are holding the money. We keep pumping it out. Everything we do is on debt now. So these other countries are holding our currency. If they dumped the currency instantaneously, they could literally crash and collapse the dollar. That is not true wealth. True wealth is if we were buying everything with gold and everybody dumped the gold, it would just mean there's a lot of gold on the market. It wouldn't change the value of it. And so this is the great deception of communism, socialism, zero-sum thinking. There's a fixed amount of income. If a rich man has it, that means you don't. You need to take it from him to get it. This is the Bernie Sanders way. It's an absolute lie. And I personally believe, from listening to Bernie Sanders, he may semi-believe what he says somewhere inside of him, but I believe that he knows better. And I believe that a lot of socialists start out that way because it's politically expedient, politicians, and then they begin to believe in it because of the peer pressure and the peer agreement. They're accepted. They're part of a crowd. And what happens is it becomes a war, a battle, a game. To them, it becomes more about winning than anything ethical or moral. The way it appears in some cases is the conservative side is more biblical. They're more righteous. They're more God-focused. And they want to do right. The left wants to win at any cost. And there are no moral limits. For example, the DNC convention, I don't know how many people, this is a quick side note, but how many people have ever seen the old movie, The Clinton Chronicles? It showed that like 92 people, you know, conveniently, mysteriously died around Bill Clinton at opportune times, right before they were going to testify on some very important scandals and so on. So the DNC, a leak comes out from Assange at WikiLeaks that, you know, there was deep corruption inside the Democratic machine, that they had rigged the machine against Bernie Sanders. So, you know, all these emails come out. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is forced to step down. Hillary Clinton's in on it. Everybody's in on it. The general public accepts it as life as usual again. And but once again, they show the deep corruption and the lack of impartiality and all that stuff. So what happens is a few days after the DNC convention, a guy gets randomly, accidentally shot to death as he's walking down the street after midnight in New York, and it just happens to be after he turns a corner into a dark spot on his way home. Boom, a car randomly drives by, fills him full of lead, kills him dead. No evidence, no witnesses, no perpetrators, no suspects, nothing. And then Assange from WikiLeaks comes out and goes, okay, now I'm going to admit it. That was my source. Who killed him? Well, it gets brushed under the rug. Everything else, her emails and everything else, they all get brushed under the rug. These people have a level of corruption surrounding them that is beyond your wildest dreams. So anyway, we back to the metals thing. So the forefathers of the United States made it very clear. We had just gone through a bankruptcy on our colonial currency. So our founding fathers specified through the U.S. Constitution and our U.S. Coinage Act of 1792 that all currency must be coined in gold or silver, and that the right to create money must remain in the hands of our United States Congress. And then in 1913, our Congress transferred this right to the Federal Reserve Bank through the adoption of the Federal Reserve Act and the creation of the IRS, everybody's favorite, and in conjunction with the 16th Amendment to the Constitution, which began to allow direct taxation on a man's ability to create wealth, which was previously unconstitutional. I mean, our founding fathers said, this is money, gold and silver. You cannot tax people for their ability to earn a buck. It's no different than slavery, they said. And then by 1913, which is what, 120 years later, here we are. We have the Federal Reserve Act. We've given up. Congress gives up their right to coin and regulate money, which was completely terrible. And then they begin the IRS, which is another alphabet soup organization, which has so much power. They're independent, and they are terribly ruthless, and I think you all know that. And then they, of course, adopt the 16th Amendment to say, look, we can start taxing people now on their right to earn an income. They needed an amendment to override constitutional fact. That should alarm people when they say, look, I'm a good U.S. citizen. I pay my taxes. Well, you pay the taxes based on legislation that hijacked the original constitutional intent. I am not a tax evader. I am not encouraging anyone to evade taxes. I'm just telling you the system's broken and it's wrong. And when they start to talk about these extreme inheritance taxes, folks, you might think, well, why do you care, Kevin? I mean, you know, you're not a billionaire. I mean, what difference does it make? What difference does it make is it destroys the American dream. It destroys the American structure. You get people like Donald Trump. Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah, he's nuts. Whatever. But the man's good at what he does. And if he wants to build an empire and then pass it on to his kids, should the government have the right to systematically take that away from him and pass it on to those who cannot manage money well? People who are at their welfare level, folks, there's a reason they're there in a lot of cases. Maybe they don't manage money well. Maybe they haven't taken a break. A lot of these people are fear-ridden. I mean, they could be disabled too. But I mean, and even if they aren't, it doesn't matter. America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. We've got to be able to do whatever we want. If someone wants to chase money, it's ironic. People will say, money doesn't matter. I don't want to chase it. You know, I don't want to live for it. But I sure wish I had more. So curse these rich, mean people that have all this money. I want to get some of it. What does it take? I don't care what my government does. I deserve some. So it's a lie. When is the last time that you've ever seen our government literally hand to you extra money because they collected more than they thought? It will never happen. The last time we came close to it was under Bush, where he gave tax credits back. He gave checks. He actually cut checks. He gave tax breaks to people and stimulated the economy. People got fat checks. I mean, low taxation is proven to work. You've got to understand that. Less government is good. I mean, we need a government to protect us. That's what they're there for. But as far as managing money, the institution does not do it well. As a matter of fact, if you get into someone who's gifted in financial prowess or they have a good financial acumen, you know, these aren't the people that are running the sectors of government that are managing these huge amounts of money. I mean, they're just people making decisions that have no financial responsibility, no fiscal understanding. And these people, even if you get into school districts or whatever, or, you know, whatever it may be, the VA, they don't have a clue. They know the money's always been there. If they've worked in the private sector, it'd be different, but they don't. They usually spend most of their career in government sectors. The money's always there or it's not. If they feel like they need more money, what do they want? Oh, we better put a tax levy in. We need more taxes. We need more money. Not ever thinking about ways to go earn it or generate it in a positive fashion. So it really is a thought process that you may or may not understand depending on your perspective on life. But the system was designed to give everybody complete freedom. And America's grown. We've expanded. I mean, we are a land of great resources. And we're now getting to a point where, you know, they had recently the quote from one of the directors of the Department of Homeland Security, or no, the ICE, the Immigration Customs, or Immigration Customs and Enforcement. One of the directors came out and said that she was told by the Obama administration to allow as many immigrants in as fast as possible because it was an election year and they knew these people would vote Democrat. They actually now know that they've let in over 2,000. They've granted citizenship to over 2,000 people who were previously directed to be deported based on felonious or, you know, criminal activity. But they go ahead and they put the pressure on. They say, oh, it's because we didn't have the fingerprints uploaded into the system or whatever. The truth of the matter is they want these people on the docket. People don't realize 74% of illegal immigrants vote. You know, where do I get that statistic? I get it from an election website that I read a while ago that's very respected statistically. I believe it was like something on Breitbart. And what they do is that these people, that's why the left is always arguing about voter ID. No, we don't want ID. That's discrimination. It's too hard for them. Well, and they say, how can somebody who doesn't have a car have an ID? Well, the government could can state driver's license associations. They will, or the Department of Transportation for each state. You can go get a driver's license or an identification, I should call it, with all your information on it that is not a driver's license. They do it for a small fee, $8 or something like that. And fine, if people say they can't afford it, then the government should provide that to them. They, you know, as they should provide transportation to vote. But the truth of the matter is that the fact is that illegal immigrants vote at a higher percentage of as legal citizens. So the more people they get in here, immigrants, illegal immigrants, whatever you want to call them, whoever they are, they all tend to vote. Very liberal, very democratic. A lot of it is it's not their country. They really don't care if it's destroyed. They want to suck it dry, get free handouts, and when they're done, they leave and go back home. So, you know, our monetary system, we could never have a welfare system. We could never have endless wars without a fiat currency system that just continued to produce $4.5 trillion a year. And Obama doesn't bother him a bit. He wants more. He wants more, and he wants more. These people believe that the reason the economy hasn't turned around is we haven't created enough fiat currency. But the truth is, we need to get America stimulated again. We need to cut taxes back. People don't realize that once the 16th Amendment and the IRS were drafted in the Constitution, payroll taxes were immediately deducted from paychecks. Immediately. Why do you think that was? The reason is very simple. It's because if people had to earn their money and at a later point pay a third of it back to the government, they would have said, you're out of your mind. You're absolutely out of your mind. I don't have it. I've spent it. Nor do you deserve it. Okay, so that's the truth. And, you know, they've payroll deducted as long as they can. We're an employer. I mean, as long as you have to pay those taxes immediately. That's the most important thing we tell our bookkeepers. Immediately. If you cut a paycheck, you pay taxes to, you know, you pay the income taxes immediately. Because if you don't, you get on a red flag list and you will get audited. I had a young kid doing the books here a while ago that we emphasized that. And after he left, we realized he was delaying paying payroll taxes, which is just foolish. And, you know, the first thing that went through my mind is like, you know, I mean, he was only doing it, delaying it weeks at a time. But I'm telling you, you just don't mess it. You just don't mess around with that stuff. And the point is exactly what I'm saying. They don't want people to have time to blink or think. I cannot believe I was in banking. I actually had a lady come in one time. I had a lot of interesting stories, but she was applying for a loan and her husband was coming later. I said, and she'd been in her job forever. I said, how much do you make? She goes, I have no idea. I said, well, maybe ballpark. How much per hour? How much per year? I have no idea. I said, well, do you bring home $1,000 a check, $1,000 a month? What? She's like, I seriously have absolutely no idea. She said, my husband handles all of the bills. My paycheck is directly deposited into our bank account, and I literally have no idea. I said, could you make, I was, you know, $100,000 a year? I don't know, maybe. I was like, that's crazy. Folks, do you think that's good stewardship? That's terrible. You need to know what you're getting. You're a steward of it. That's why people can get into all kinds of tax shelters and all that. And obviously, if you're not making a lot of money, you don't have to worry about that. Neither do I. But the point being, we are stewards of what God gives us. You know, when we work and earn money, we've got to know what we're making. That's why if you look at your pay stub and you look at what you pay to the government in taxes, I mean, it should shock and appall you and blow your mind. You got to think about what you could do with that extra money. And the fact of the matter is, when the more you tax of something, the less you get of it. And so this is where the conservative concept used to be less taxation. Now it's becoming more and more and more taxation. People are realizing there's very little difference between Republicans and Democrats on fiscal policy. Most Republicans have completely accepted the Federal Reserve system. They don't understand its corruption. They do not understand. We are facing the most critical times in this nation. You've heard it before. But I'm telling you, we are economically facing the hardest of times. And we're facing nations like Northern Korea, which now is showing off that they have long-range missiles that can go into outer space and come wherever they want, orbit the Earth, whatever. They have nuclear arms. There's all kinds of nuclear warheads missing. They're out there somewhere. The other thing that is the big thing we've talked about on the show is EMP, electromagnetic pulse bombs. Folks, it is important that you understand how quickly that will end everything. Every car will be fried. Everything is electronic. It runs on circuits and solenoids. And I'm telling you, it will all fry. Everything from your phone to your toaster to your fridge. All it won't matter because you won't get electric anyway. I mean, this is just potentially around the corner. That could be the biblical demise of America. I don't know, but I do know that if it ever did happen, you better be prepared because the water is going to become brackish quickly. You're going to have no sewage. You know, you're going to have all kinds of problems. And if it really did happen that bad, there'd be no communication. And you know, it could be 9 months, a year, or never, for the structure was effectually rebuilt. So, you know, owning precious metals and hard assets under that scenario is the only thing that lasts. You know, people, and you think about it, that's what the Muslims do when they take over a country. They bring them back into the Dark Ages. They're following the teachings of this wacky 6th century schizophrenic. Psychologists and psychiatrists agree when they read Muhammad's writings, he was schizophrenic. And the Muslims want to bring us back to that era. And what they do is they bring countries into the Dark Ages, they shut off their power, they kill their gas, they kill everything, their lights, and then they go to war. This is, if you don't believe it, look around the world. It's, you know, Serbia and Yemen, and I mean, there's lists of them where they do it. And, you know, they're not all Arabs. Not all Muslims are Arabs. But all these heinous, heinous acts you see against other people and genocide, at the core is so often Islam. So anyway, you get my point. I guess today kind of went a little quick on me. But, you know, Coins Plus 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. The bottom line, folks, is, you know, you really need to let us build your portfolio. I don't care how much it is. I mean, I don't care if you have a grand, 5 grand, 3 grand, $300, 30 grand, 100 grand. It doesn't matter. You need to secure it in a biblical, sound, conservatively financial method. It will go up. And there is also, I don't talk a lot about the potential upside of the metals, because we are facing a time where I really sincerely believe we're walking into the next precious metals boom. And that would be really nice for you too. But in addition to that, you can make a nice gain and secure your wealth. That's an added bonus. You don't want to buy it for speculative purposes only. You want to buy it because it's biblically sound and wise. So again, Coins Plus 444-0044 locally, toll free 877-TAP-COIN, or the website at coinsplus.com. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. I really hope you have a beautiful weekend. I think we got a few weekends of decent weather left. Thanks again for tuning in. Appreciate it. God bless. Bye-bye.